Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We are just 2 days away, now that we officially finally know the Stanley Cup playoff schedule, just 2 days away from the Nashville Predators taking on the Vancouver Canucks in game one of the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And joining us now to break it all down is our friend Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast and Sportsnet. Elliot, appreciate you for stopping by. Just overall first impressions of this Nashville-Vancouver matchup.
Well, my number one impression is the Vancouver fans are not happy with your ticket policy. That is my number one impression.
I did see some very angry Canucks fans on
too
Twitter.
Bad, so
why?
Sad.
Why do you guys hate Vancouver? Why do you? I mean,
we hate every team that comes in here, Elliot.
That's good, Derek. Now I know it's like when you were pancake blocking Palomalu. That's what you're doing with these guys. I think it's like the Vancouver fans, as you're finding out, they are like, I, when it comes to their internet social media fan base, they're a little crazy. I've had my battles with them before. Mm-hmm. There are sometimes they really like me, and there are sometimes they really hate me, and there's no in between. Like, there's no gray. It's either black or white. They really hate you or they really like you. So I laughed at when I saw someone sent me some of those tweets. And I was laughing my head off at that. I think you guys have a real challenge. It's not that you're not up to it. I wouldn't say that for a second, but I think you have a challenge. That's a team that had a really good year. Their number one goalie was hurt the last couple months of the season, and they were very smart with him. They made him sit probably longer than he needed to. And, he's one of the few guys in the league that can look eye to eye with Saros and say, I'm his equal. Thatcher Demko is on the same level as Saros as a goalie. So that's one thing. I think, like a lot of teams, I think they've got some banged up players, but you just have to deal with it at this time of the year. They play with a really fast pace, and they've gone down, and at center, they've made some moves, and the way they're lined up at center right now, they are very deep. Now, and also they've got one of the few defensemen who can look Roman Josi in the eye and say, I'm on the same level as you. As a matter of fact, I'm filling out my awards ballot today, and Hughes and Josi are in the top two spots. So, like, they're one of the few teams that can look at Saros and say, we've got an equal. They're one of the few guys who can look at Josi and say, we've got an equal. And Ryan O'Reilly, I think, is going to be a hugely important player for you guys over the next 2 weeks. But they're one of the few teams that say, we have a few different guys that we would be okay with if they got matched up with Ryan O'Reilly. So I don't think it's impossible by any stretch of the imagination. But I think Vancouver is one of the few teams that you could look at your strength in Nashville and they can say, we can deal with that.
All great points and all things that I'd like to go into a little bit more depth on. But first, I want to touch on your initial point of just the craziness and the mania of the fan base. I think a lot of our listeners in this area can relate to a certain extent. But one thing that Barry Trotz said on our station a couple weeks ago was that one thing in the Predators' corner is that they just don't have the pressure. They don't have the pressure that maybe some other playoff teams might have. You know, the Stars or the Rangers having so much pressure of having a veteran team and being so good in the regular season. And Vancouver, just being in a Canadian market, there is so much pressure. You're in it. You live it, you breathe it, you see it in your Twitter mentions every single day. Just how much pressure is there on the Canucks from that fan base and the Vancouver market?
Boy, that's an old school playbook that Barry Trotz is reading from. That's very, very smart on his part. I shouldn't be surprised, but it's a very, very smart move by Trotz. I think that's real. I do think that's real. I would say a couple things about that. Number one, I also do think on some level the Canucks are playing with a bit of house money. in the sense that they weren't expected to be this good this year. As a matter of fact, I don't think anybody thought that they would be a team that would be winning the Pacific Division and have a chance to win the Western Conference. So I think there's a little bit of, wow, like, we are where we're not supposed to be, and we're happy with that. Of course, Carolyn, up in Canada, and particularly in Vancouver, that can dissipate very quickly. And, like, for example, if you guys go into Vancouver and win game one, there's definitely going to be a lot of, oh, my God, we're doomed. This is a disaster. Like, there's definitely going to be some of that. And the more pressure you put on them in this series, they'll be it. But, you know, the one thing I would say about this is there's some guys on that team that have kind of been through the social media meat grinder there. JT Miller, Patterson, definitely Brock Besser, and Connor Garland. Like, these are good players on their team, and they've come out of it better players. Like, they handled it. So I do think they have the mentality to handle it, but it doesn't mean it's not going to be there.
Elliot, do you think, we'll talk with Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast, discussing the Nashville Predators and the Vancouver Canucks opening round series starting Sunday. Yeah, starting Sunday. So
late one.
Yep.
It's a late game. Oh, my goodness. I need to give me a nap.
initially, it was Tuesday, mm-hmm. and both teams complained.
Yeah, so now they got it Monday, a late nighter, at least for us anyway. Is it just as easy to say, hey, listen, this game boils down to the two goalies. If they play well, whoever plays well, then that's the team that's going to win. Or is it more than that when it comes to these two teams?
Well, I mean, Derek, I think the base answer is the goaltending is your number one thing. Mm-hmm. In a seven-game series, if you don't have goaltending, you're not going to win. There are teams that believe you don't need to pay the most for a goalie, and you pay goalies too much. But I believe this. There's a tier of about five or six guys that are better than everybody else. And if you've got them, you do what you can to keep them. And this series features two of those guys. I think that Saros is on an elite tier, and I think that Demko is on an elite tier as well. And so, look, if you don't have goaltending at this time of the year, you're doomed. Nothing can overcome that. I think that to win in this league, you've got to have goaltending number one. You've got to have a good mobile defense number two. You've got to be strong down the middle. You've got to have elite talent, and you've got to have depth. But you can have a good mobile defense. You can be strong down the middle. You can have elite talent, and you can have depth, but if your goaltender picks a week that he's suddenly off his game or isn't very good, you're screwed. So goaltending is number one above everything.
Now, when you look at these series, Elliot, is this Vancouver-Nashville series probably the best first-round matchup, considering where Vancouver was at the beginning of the season, how they beat up on the Predators at the beginning of the season, looking at what the Predators did toward the latter part of the season, and now you have two teams. We played each other, but really we didn't, because we're a different team than what we were when we played y'all, and y'all are a different team than what y'all were. So is this ultimately, it may turn out to be the best first-round matchup?
I would say, Derek, your point is 100% correct that what happened in the regular season between these two teams doesn't matter very much because, as you said, they are different. I also remember this. In the NHL, in the 82-game regular season, you have games where teams aren't at their best. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's because they're playing their third game in 4 days. Maybe it's a long road trip. Maybe it's a back-to-back, whatever the case. Maybe it's because Vancouver and Nashville aren't natural rivals and the teams don't get up for it. Like, say, the Predators would get up to play Dallas or St. Louis or somebody like that. The playoffs are very different. It's one team, seven games. And also, you drill down and you say, look, this is the thing the other team does really well, or a player on their team who's really good, and we are not letting that beat us. if we are losing this series, we're not letting X player beat us, or we're not letting X play or what they do beat us. And it's very different. You can talk to a lot of good young players who, when they first play a playoff series and they realize, holy smokes, like, I'm the guy they're building their entire defense around. It's very, very different. Best first round series, Derek, that may be a bit much. That Florida-Tampa Bay series is going to be ridiculous. Mm-hmm. That Vegas-Dallas series is going to be ridiculous. That Winnipeg-Colorado series is going to be ridiculous. But it's a good one. And, you know, Derek, like, you gotta take that afternoon siesta, and you'll be fine to stay up till 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah, man, when you reach 50, I think you got to take a nap when you get those late games.
That's true,
yeah. Even for me, I'm like, 9 o'clock? My God, I've been bed for an hour by then. Elliot.
Yeah, I saw you out last year at the draft. That's not true.
Touche. Elliot Friedman is with us, 32 Thoughts Podcast. Elliot, you know, the Predators and the Canucks played three times in the first half of the season. So our attention has kind of been diverted to other teams. We haven't been keeping up with the Canucks as much as we have, you know, closely with some other teams in the NHL. I do know the Canucks came out of the gate swinging, that they were hot in the first half of the season.
Yeah.
And the second half of the season that they've kind of trailed off. Is that as simple as, well, Thatcher Demko was largely not available in the latter half of the season? Or is there something else, another reason behind the Canucks looking so much better in the first half rather than the second?
Well, I think the Demko thing is a big thing. I thought early in the year, like, their backup is Casey DeSmith. And I thought early in the year when they only needed him to spell off Demko once in a while, and they were very careful with Demko this year because he was coming off injuries. But I thought when they were only using DeSmith once in a while, I thought he was excellent. I thought the more they needed him, he kind of drifted off a bit. So, yes, I don't think that was the only thing, Carolyn, but I also do think that was a factor. Also, Vancouver made a few changes this year. They made a few trades, and especially with Elias Lindholm, who they got from Calgary at the deadline, they had a real problem finding the right spot for him, and he got hurt too. And I think it disrupted them a little bit. They have a few guys hurt. Everybody has that at the beginning of the year. I think they were banged up a bit. But I think fitting some of these guys in kind of slowed them down a little bit too. But generally, I feel that they're in a good place and they will be rejuvenated. Like that building on Sunday night, it's going to be crazy there. It's been a long time since they've hosted a playoff game, because the last time they were in the playoffs was the bubble, right? So it's going to be a zoo there, and it's going to wire up those players.
So many great matchups in this series as a whole. And I know it's not one-on-one matchups, but, you know, Saros and Demko, Quinn Hughes and Roman Josi, likely the Norris Trophy winner and Norris Trophy runner-up. What is a matchup that you're most looking forward to in this series?
Well, I would say it's Hughes and Josi. Like I said, they're 1-2 on my Norris ballot this year. I think they are great, great players. I think Hughes, from game one to 82 this year, was the best defenseman in the league. And Josi has been ridiculous, especially over the last couple of months. I think that everything that Nashville is going to do is going to be geared at making life hard on Quinn Hughes. Everything. You know that Andrew Burnett is sitting there saying, we have to make him pay a physical price. And that's easier said than done. He's slippery. He's elusive. He's got elite hockey IQ. But that doesn't mean you're still not going to try. And also, too, like, so much of what the Canucks do goes through Hughes, just like so much of what the Predators do goes through Josi. So I am looking forward to that. I just think that those are going to be two of the best players and most important players throughout the series. I would say second two is probably O'Reilly, just in the sense that, like I said, Vancouver is very deep down the middle, and you know that Andrew Burnett's going to be counting on him a lot, and he loves this time of year. He's almost like you always think with heart rate, it's always flatline. He never gets too high, he never gets too low, and he's very, very calm. And there's going to be moments in this series that go very badly for Nashville, because that's the way a series works. And Ryan O'Reilly is the kind of guy that pulls you out of those holes when you get in them.
Well, Elliot, I'm not going to ask who you are picking, who you expect to win this series, because obviously I don't want you to make the Canadian group mad. And I don't want you to make the Nashville group mad at all.
If
you will ask me, I will answer.
I'm not going to put you in that position. But what I will ask you is this. Do you think this is a long series?
I do. Okay. I do. I just... Look, I just think you guys are too good, right? And I think they're too good. You know, sometimes you get series. Like last year in the Eastern Conference Final, you know, Florida swept Carolina, but every series was like a one-goal game, right? And so and one of them went to like four overtimes. Sometimes you get series like that where it's a sweep, but it's really close. I just don't see that here. I think you guys are too good, and I think they're too good. And I just think there's guys here that are going to take over games. Like, the way I look at this is Saros is going to win you guys a game you do not deserve to win. Mm-hmm. Demko is going to win them a game that they do not deserve to win. I absolutely believe that. I think Josi has a game where he puts you on your shoulders and you win. And I think that one or two Vancouver guys, whether it's Pettersson, whether it's Hughes, whether it's Miller, one or two of those guys are going to put their team on their shoulders in a game and they're going to win. So right now we're already at 2-2, maybe 3-2 Vancouver. We're already at six games. That's the way I look at this series. And from there, it's going to be who wins the battles and who just refuses to lose and who gets one lucky break that maybe turns the series.
I will ask you, Elliot. I will put you on the hot seat. Who do you think wins the series?
Yeah, I would pick Vancouver. I would. I just think they're deeper. But like I said, it's not the. I'm not putting like my next mortgage down on it or anything like that. They've just been a great team, 1-82, and I really like what they did to rest their goalie. I think they are a little deeper than you guys are, and I think that matters. But if in 2 weeks we're talking and Nashville's won the series, I wouldn't think it would be an enormous upset.
Elliot's protecting his Twitter mentions and his Twitter DMs.
Yeah. I don't want the Twitter folks to come after you, Elliot.
You know, I got to tell you, like, no matter what I say, this is the way that the world we live in now. No matter what you say, someone's going to hate it.
Yeah.
So just do what you do and deal with the fallout.
Welcome to the world of social media.
Exactly.
Elliot Friedman. Elliot, you are the best. Appreciate you for stopping by. And we'll catch up with you next week, hopefully, with some good news from the first two games of the series.
I'm good now. I'm back on the Thursday schedule, so we'll do it next week.
Awesome. Right, perfect. Sounds great. Appreciate you, Elliot. Have a good weekend.
Take care, guys.
Yep.
I appreciate it. All right, coming up next, we'll react to what Elliot had to say. Want to get into your phones and your Predators Canucks thoughts, our official predictions for the series, and most importantly, we will give away a pair of tickets for the Predators' first home playoff game, and we will do that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Plus, tune into 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on the Omaha Storm Chasers at First Horizon Park. Pregame at 6:20 p.m. First pitch at 6:35, with coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning.
Is there a sense in Vancouver of, you know, hey, it's nice to make the playoffs, but this is a team that finished in a spot to where they should win in the playoffs? And what do you make of that?
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation in Vancouver, because at the beginning of the year, if you'd asked Canucks fans and people that cover this team, you know, what's this team going to do? Forget the fans and the broadcasters. It was Jim Rutherford, who's the president of hockey operations. He said, if everything goes right, we're a playoff team. And this team really smashed through that. They're atop of the Pacific Division for a majority of the season. They were on top of the Western Conference for over 70-plus days. So I think there has been a moving goalpost. At the beginning of the year, it was make the playoffs and you get in. And now they've shown that they can, you know, hang with the big boys. They've had some of the best stretch of hockey this season and been one of the more consistent teams. There is an expectation, of course, anytime you play for a Canadian team, that you're going to win, that there's this, you know, this curse of not winning a Stanley Cup that goes back to 1993 with the Montreal Canadiens. Rick Tocchet mentioned that yesterday to say that's an added pressure. But when you're on that ice, when you're already in the playoffs and you're feeling that pressure of the playoffs, that's something that, you know, the pressure is going to be there regardless. But there is a changing of expectations in Vancouver to say, oh, okay, we're just happy to be here. Maybe if you would have thought about that in October, it was a very, you know, a great situation if you just make the playoffs. Now, this team has essentially shown that they can do more, and that's why Jim Rutherford and Patrick Alvin went after Elias Lindholm. That's why they picked up Nikita Zadorov. That's why they added to this roster during the season where, you know, some of this, the star players, the depth players on this team did show that they're potentially capable of more. So is there pressure? Yeah, you know, holding a Canadian passport and playing hockey in this country, there's added pressure. But on top of that, you know, I should mention, guys, there's the majority of this team is U.S.-born players. So even though it's a team in Canada, this is a very American team.
That was Randeep Janda on Stillman & Company yesterday as a radio play-by-play analyst for the Vancouver Canucks. And what Jared brought up to him was what Barry Trotz has been saying is kind of a tool in the Predators' toolbox, if you will, a notch in the advantages for the Predators going into this matchup is, hey, we've got no pressure on us. Nobody even expected us to be here in the first place. We don't have a rabid Canadian fan base where it's do or die and win or riots in the streets. And obviously, Predators fans want to win. Of course, Predators fans, myself included, D. Mays, Nick, everyone here, we want to see the Predators be successful and win and get to the second round and eventually the Western Conference Finals. Absolutely. But let's not kid ourselves. Like, Canadian markets are different. Like, they are bonkers. They are crazy. Just some of the tweets I've seen from Vancouver fans. My goodness. Are they bringing out the gloves early?
Yeah.
Woo. So, Barry Trotz has said, look, that's something in our corner. We don't have that kind of pressure. And Randeep Janda kind of touching there. Like, look, you've got a Canadian passport. Like, yeah, we're going to up the ante a little bit. Well, we just caught up with Elliot Friedman, and he said maybe the idea of Predators don't have pressure and the Canucks do, maybe that's a little bit more of a fallacy. This was Elliot Friedman.
I would say a couple things about that. Number one, I also do think on some level the Canucks are playing with a bit of house money in the sense that they weren't expected to be this good this year. As a matter of fact, I don't think anybody thought that they would be a team that would be winning the Pacific Division and have a chance to win the Western Conference. So I think there's a little bit of, wow, like, we are where we're not supposed to be, and we're happy with that. Of course, Carolyn, up in Canada, and particularly in Vancouver, that can dissipate very quickly. And, like, for example, if you guys go into Vancouver and win game one, there's definitely going to be a lot of, oh my God, we're doomed. This is a disaster. Like, there's definitely going to be some of that. And the more pressure you put on them in this series, they'll be it. But, you know, the one thing I would say about this is there's some guys on that team that have kind of been through the social media meat grinder there. JT Miller, Patterson, definitely Brock Besser, and Connor Garland. Like, these are good players on their team. And they've come out of it better players. Like, they handled it. So I do think they have the mentality to handle it, but it doesn't mean it's not going to be there.
So Elliot Friedman says, actually, the Canucks might feel that they're playing with a little bit of house money. D-Mace, I don't know. Obviously, Elliot has a much, you know, better pulse on the fan base. He has more hockey knowledge in his pinky than I have in my whole body and ever will. But I don't know how much I buy that, frankly. And it's the Canadian market. And also, looking at the things that, you know, Canucks fans have been saying on social media, and I understand that social media can a lot of times be a vocal minority, but let's not kid ourselves. The rest of the NHL, and specifically the Canadian markets, they don't view Nashville as a matchup in the playoffs where it's acceptable to lose to. They don't look at Nashville as a traditional hockey market, let's be honest, because it's not. We know that Nashville is a hockey town. We know how passionate these Predators fans are. We know how rowdy Bridgestone Arena can get on any given night, but especially in the playoffs. But I think that this Vancouver fan base, and probably even this Vancouver team, is not looking at it like they're playing with house money.
I'm sure they don't. I mean, you want to win by all means necessary. You don't, you know, every time you go into the playoffs, I think there's pressure to win in the playoffs, period, because you got there. You are one of the best, you know, what is it, 16 teams that get in the playoffs? You are one of the best 16 teams after the regular season to get in the playoffs. There should be pressure on everybody to perform and to win. There's pressure on Vancouver. There's probably added pressure because they're a Canadian team. But there's pressure, period. There's pressure for the Nashville Predators. The pressure isn't, you know, we didn't think they were going to be there, so, you know, they're playing with house money. No.
Expectations changed.
Yeah, expectations changed when you went on that 18-point streak and you look like, or not even look like, you were one of the top three or four teams in the National Hockey League. That's when you raised up the expectations. When you started to play the way that your coach and your GM, and frankly, y'all envisioned yourselves playing really good hockey. The pressure's there for you to win. Now, if you don't win, it's not like, you know, it's a fire sale and you know, we didn't win, so we're breaking this team up. But you got to understand this. Like, these guys are not getting younger. They're not. And any opportunity that you can get to win yourself or put yourself in a position to win a Stanley Cup, you take it because you may not have it again. The Predators missed the playoffs last year, you know. You can't just say, if we don't do it this year, we're going to be able to do it next year. You may not make it next year. So to me, the pressure is, once you're now one of the final 16 teams, the pressure is to win, no matter what. The pressure is to win. Players don't go into playoffs saying, ah, you know what? Didn't nobody expect us to be here. So, I mean, we lose, so be it. We lose. No. Their thing is now we need to win games moving forward because we all have this goal in common, and that goal is to win the Stanley Cup. I don't care how we got in the playoffs. I don't care where we started at the beginning of the season. We're here now. The expectations is to win a Stanley Cup. The expectation isn't to go into Vancouver and play an okay game and stick with them and make it look good and maybe lose 3-2 or maybe lose the series 4-3 or 4-2. No, we need to win. So to me, there is pressure on the Nashville Predators. These guys aren't getting old. Philip Forsberg isn't getting any younger. Soros isn't getting any younger. You know, who else? Yossi isn't getting any younger. You know, but these guys that they brought in that already won championships, they're old. They're not getting any younger. You feel you have a special team. They've said this. This team is special. They're close-knit. This is a team. The pressure is to win with this group you have because next year's group won't look the same. So you win now.
And with that being said, if the Predators lose a very tightly contested seven-game series and it just comes down to, you know, a razor's edge of a difference, I think you can step away and you can say, I can live with that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can, as a fan base, you can live with it. As a player, I still can't live with it. As a player, I expect to win. If we lose 4-3, that's not like a moral victory. We lost. We got our ass kicked. We didn't win. You know, we got to do better next season.
Yep.
But no, our goal was to go in and win this series and then ultimately win the next series and find ourselves in the Stanley Cup. Obviously, they can't think that far right now, but that is the goal. Anybody that says that's not the goal, regardless of where people predicted you to be or not, once you're in, your goal is to win the Stanley Cup. Anything short of that is a disappointment to me. That's just me. Because once you get in, it's hard to get in the playoffs every year.
Yeah.
So take advantage of it while you're there.
And with that being said, that's what makes these first two games so critical. Because we've got a bunch of texts in the text line talking about stealing game one. And, yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
But I said, just steal a game in Vancouver.
Yeah, just get one in Vancouver. I don't care if it's this one, the second one, the fifth one. I mean, yeah, the fifth one. I don't care which one it is. Just steal one.
Because imagine the confidence of that team walking into Bridgestone Arena with the series tied. Mm-hmm. And knowing that Bridgestone Arena is going to be overwhelming advantage. Maybe not overwhelming advantage, but Bridgestone Arena is going to be an advantage for you.
Let's make it an overwhelming advantage.
You go back into Vancouver up 3-1. Mm-hmm. I mean, you are feeling all of the confidence in the world. Mm-hmm. And then that brings in the advantage of the experience on your side of guys like Ryan O'Reilly and Gus Nyquist and Philip Forsberg and Roman Yossi. They've been there, and they know that you can't walk into, you know, Vancouver's building, which we know is going to be popping. We know it's going to be loud. We know it's going to be an intimidating environment. They know that you can't take your foot off the gas just because you're up 3-1. Mm-hmm. And that is an advantage of being there and doing it before and being through the gauntlet of the Stanley Cup playoffs versus maybe less playoff experience with the Canucks have, whereas if the roles were reversed, let's say they were up 3-1, maybe they're feeling that they can kick their feet up a little bit, which we know you cannot do that in this league, but you cannot do that in the playoffs. Want to get into some of your thoughts and your reaction. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Craig says, I hope Vancouver is overconfident because they beat us three times before Christmas. That will mean that we steal game one in Vancouver, which is exactly what we need. I will say this. Rick Tocchet is a very good coach. Mm-hmm. I do not think that Rick Tocchet would allow his team to feel some type of way about the Nashville Predators because of how they played last calendar year. Rick Tocchet knows that this is a very different Predators team than when they saw them in October and December.
Absolutely. He's probably even, you know, going over and beyond to express to his team, this isn't the same Nashville team we played and we beat three times. This is not the same team. So don't even think about that team. Don't even think about us playing that team. We're not playing that team. We're playing a much better team. We're playing a team that, frankly, has been one of the top four or five teams in the National Hockey League over the last 2.5-3 months. I guarantee he's drilling that in their head because he doesn't want them to think about the games that they won, because that Nashville Predator team isn't the same. Y'all are not the same team. He's harping on, look at what they did in this month and a half, 2 month span. This is the team that we're walking. This is the team that's walking into our building. It ain't the team we played at the beginning of the season.
Teammates, it's time.
Let's do it.
We got some tickets to give away.
Yes.
We got a pair of tickets to give away to the first Predators home playoff game at Bridgestone Arena against the Vancouver Canucks next Friday evening. So be the first person to call in. Do not text in. You will not win. First person to call in with the correct answer to this trivia question, and you are going to see the Nashville Predators in game three against the Vancouver Canucks. So the trivia question is, the last time the Predators saw the Canucks in the playoffs was in 2011. The Predators fell to the Canucks in six games in the Western Conference semifinals. In game six, the Predators lost to the Canucks 2-1. Who was the one Predator to score in game six in 2011 against the Vancouver Canucks? Be the first person with that correct answer, and you're going to see the Predators in game one at Bridgestone Arena, game three of the series. Good luck with that. We'll take it to the bank coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Here comes the money.
And you can take that to the bank.
Here comes the money.
It is now time to take it to the bank with F&M Bank, customer community. F&M Bank, banking made easy on purpose. Business is complicated, but banking doesn't have to be. F&M Bank, visit one of their 20 locations throughout Middle Tennessee and Southern Kentucky, or online at myfmbank.com. Before we take to the bank this week, what are our standings looking like, Nick?
Currently, after last week, everybody had a really good week. Caroline had a 9, D-Mace had a 7, Willie had a perfect 10.
Whoa!
What?
Yeah. It's crazy.
And then really having a comeback in season two.
I have a little issue here. So I picked Jackson Holliday initially to get a hit because he did not have one the night before.
It was an error.
So I did have a home run in there. So I'm taking to the jury. Do I go with the hit or a home run? Is that okay if I just add that asterisk next to it?
I will take that.
Okay.
Then that's accepted.
That would be a 10 then. So thank you. As for the standings we have here, we have Willie up at 25. We have myself at 20. Oh, wait, wrong standings. I have the wrong week. Excuse me.
That's okay. Mm.
Willie at 35. Caroline at 27. Myself at 20. And Derek, you're getting there, buddy. You're getting there. 12.
I know I started off bad.
Yeah,
I started
you had a rough week.
Yeah, that first week was rough.
Yeah.
But I'm coming back.
As for
like
that,
the hair and
with
the
vengeance.
With a vengeance. But as for that, Caroline, you can start us off.
All right, I'm going to take a few to the bank this week. Jaden Daniels will be a Washington Commander on Thursday night. We have the NCAA Gymnastics Championships happening on Saturday. Give me, in whatever order, Utah and LSU to finish in the top two. I don't know who's going to win and who's going to be runner-up, but I'm going to take those two will be in the top two. I'm also going to take Ryan O'Reilly to score a goal in game one. Not even game one or game two. Game one, Ryan O'Reilly will find the net against the Vancouver Canucks.
That's a bold move. I like that.
Thank you.
Because it's a veteran-esque, like, playoff type goal.
Yeah. He's ready for it. He's been in these situations before.
D-Mace.
All right. First one I got, Haney versus Garcia. I'm going with Haney. It's going to be a knockout. I'm not calling what round, but I'm predicting Haney would knock Garcia out. Okay, that's one.
All right, I like it.
Second one is there will only be one. No. Yeah. There will only be one defensive player drafted in the top 10. And then I have, I can't forget this. The Predators. I got Philip Forsberg scoring a goal. Novak scoring a goal.
Ooh.
And Predators winning the first game, baby.
Let's go. Yeah.
Taking it to the bank.
Well,
taking it to the bank.
As for that, D-Mace, I'm with you on that standpoint of Preds will win game one. I also have Philip Forsberg, not to get one goal, but two goals in this first game.
Okay.
And
new data energy.
Let's just put it out there. It's going to be kind of crazy to say, but UC Soros to get one assist. Get a point. I know that sounds odd, but you know what? Yeah. I'm taking the bold statement there.
Fortune favors the bold, man.
Yeah, exactly. And then last but not least, we're going to take the Cardinals to win their series this weekend. I'm just having this optimistic mindset. I don't know what it is.
I like it. Yeah. I like it, Nick. All right, before we head out of here, game one predictions for the Nashville Predators before we hop on air on Monday.
I've already said that the Preds will win. UC Soros will play lights out. And I got them winning 3-1.
Ooh, Nick.
I'm going to say a little higher, 4-3, Nashville.
High scoring. Yeah. I'm going to say the Preds lose game one, 3-2, but come back to win game two. And we will continue to get into that on Monday's edition of Caroline, Willie, and D-May. Stillman & Company's up next.
Be love and love on your people. Have a wonderful and blessed and safe weekend. Peace.